Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us today is from our gospel lesson from the 14th chapter of Luke. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do those words trouble you? How could they not? At the very least, carrying a cross around sounds like hard work. And of course, you know, Jesus was speaking metaphorically here to vividly say that following him involves sacrifice and hard choices. Now, in our hearts, we know that this is the level of commitment that is called for. When it comes to life with Jesus, you may sense God should be number one in your life. You may intuit that your decisions and actions ought to be in harmony with God's word. But how often do you, do I, go in that direction? There are other concerns, other issues, other people that we may, in fact, honor more than Jesus. Our families are a good example, and it's no coincidence that Jesus uses that very example right here in Luke. And at first, the language here is extremely disturbing. When Jesus talks about hating father and mother, hating wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even your own life, well, most of us, I am guessing, make a little mental deal to ignore Jesus when he says things like that, to just set it aside and move on. But when you dig into this, responsible scholarship tells us that in biblical Hebrew, the word hate, the whole concept of hate, can mean, in some instances, loving someone less than someone else. You don't hate them in the sense that you despise them and you wish the worst on them. But hate, in this Hebraic figure of speech, means that there is indeed a pecking order. Both are loved, but one is more loved. So it would be valid to translate verse 26 this way. If you want to be my follower, you must love me more than father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Now that takes some of the weird hate idea out of it, but it still leaves us with an amazingly difficult choice. After all, there can only be one number one. Jesus says, count the cost. What is that cost? Well, it's something like this. There will be a personal price to pay in your family if Jesus is your number one. And some of you are well aware of that fact. Same thing in your daily work. Same thing in your friendships. If Jesus is your number one, there will be a price to pay. And yet Jesus makes no bones about it. He stands there and says to you and to me, nothing can be more important than me, Jesus says. Not your significant other. Not your hobbies. Not your business, not sports, not your own personal comfort. Now, it's not hard to figure out what you love more and what you love less. Just take a step back and look at the decisions that you make each and every day and where you spend the majority of your time. It's not hard to tell. This has all been pretty abstract so far, so let's put a human face on it. A campus pastor once told of a visit he had with a young woman at the University of California in Berkeley. And this is what he writes. She was a brilliant student, lived at International House, had visited our university Lutheran chapel with friends. When I called on her, she explained that she had tried to find God all her life, but without success. Every night for 9 years, I read my Bible, she told me, and prayed for faith, but God never gave it to me. We talked some more, and finally I asked her, "Did you ever pray for forgiveness?" She didn't answer that question, but then as we continued to talk, she made the comment that she had never broken any of the Ten Commandments. Intrigued and not having approached anyone this way before, I went through the commandments with her, starting with number 10. No, she had never coveted. No, she had never stolen. No, she had never had an adulterous thought. No, she had never sworn. And finally, we got to the first commandment. And I asked her, "Is there anything at all that you would place before giving yourself up to God completely?" She paused. "I will have to say," she began, and then she spoke firmly, "if anything would come in the way of me pursuing my diplomatic career, it would have to go." The tragedy in this instance was that this dynamic young woman was gradually losing her eyesight. But her real blindness was in not seeing the Savior who wanted to reach out and give her faith, but only through forgiveness, which she didn't believe she needed. If Jesus' words about discipleship, about carrying a cross, have hit a nerve with you, the thing to do is be honest. Be honest about how impossible it seems to put God at number one in your life. Ask Him for the forgiveness that only He can offer, but your heart and your mind will only be changed when you look at not your commitment to Him, but His commitment to you. Actually, first, Jesus was committed to His Father. In fact, Jesus loved His Father more than He did Himself. That's how He could empty Himself of all majesty and come down here and be truly human. That's how He could be obedient to His Father and the mission that He had been given. But what's equally true is that Jesus loved you more than He loved Himself. Nails didn't hold Jesus to the cross. Love held Him there, where His total commitment to you resulted in His suffering and death. And because Jesus loves you more than He loves Himself, you are spared from having to deal with sin and death on your own. You are spared from eternal separation from God. And to use the Hebraic figure of speech, Jesus hated Himself and loved you. Otherwise, He would have never gone near a cross. But He did. And His love for you and His Father is the only explanation why He would ever bear a cross, much less die on one. So again, let's take Jesus' advice. Let's count the cost. What does it mean to carry a cross for Jesus? A lot of ways we can answer that question. You may sense a way in which you're carrying a cross in your life right now. Ultimately, I would suggest to you that carrying a cross for Jesus means dying to self. And when I say dying to self, I mean living like I'm not number one, that I am not the center of the universe that I sometimes tend to think that I am. And when I take that step, when I put myself off of the throne and put Jesus on it, that means a number of things. It means freedom from selfish desires that always lead me to a dead end. It means freedom from a life where I have to get this or that, where I have to get the diplomatic career, or I have to get that amount in my savings account, and only then will I be satisfied. I'm free from that way of thinking. Carrying a cross for Jesus also means living a life of loving sacrifice. When God is number one, when He is firmly on the throne of your life, now you are free to commit yourself to relationships in your life that are supposed to bring you blessing. Jesus is not anti-family. It was His idea, along with His Father and the Holy Spirit. He wants us to love and to serve our spouse, our children, our co-workers, our friends, and just anyone who stumbles into our life on a given day. And we can get those relationships right because our main relationship with Father God and His Son Jesus are right. I suspect that too often we stunt our own spiritual growth because we are afraid of total commitment to Jesus. And to be more specific, we're afraid that if I take this step, I will lose something. Truth be told, if you take that step, you will lose some things. Remember, we're counting the cost here. So here's what we lose. We lose old ways of thinking and acting that we hurt ourselves and others constantly with. We lose self-destructive patterns of behavior. And what we gain? When you carry a cross for Jesus, you gain a new life in which every moment is meaningful, no work is wasted, a new life in which you can walk around every day knowing that you matter, and more than that, knowing that you are loved because of all that Jesus did on your behalf. Follow Jesus. Carry that cross. It's the hardest, best thing you will ever do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when Your Son Jesus calls us to total discipleship, our emotional first reaction to that is often fear. We're afraid that we can live up to those standards. We suspect that we cannot. And the truth is, we can't. And You know this. To solve that problem, You came into the world to live the perfect life in our stead, to give that life as a sacrifice on the altar of the cross, and to present that perfect life to the Father, so that anyone who believes and trusts in You gets to wear that. That counts for our standing as well. Lord, You've not called us to hate anything, to despise people that You've placed in our lives, but You have called us to love You most. That'll only happen when we see how deeply You love us, the great sacrifice You went through, the great lengths that You went through to pour out Your love upon us. Help us to see that Your cross is the source of us knowing that we are fully and completely loved and forgiven. And so we can shoulder whatever burden You choose for us and do it willingly and joyfully to Your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.